If you would take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to Psalm 119, we're going to spend the next several weeks looking through this psalm. Psalm 119 was a psalm that was written in struggle. It's a man who understood the importance of God's Word, who understood the importance of applying God's Word to his life, but written by a man who struggled as he lived his life and struggled in living up to the commands and the Word that he knew to be true. As we begin this study here this morning, we have a choice. When it comes to God's Word, we can choose to read it and we can choose to apply it to our lives. We can choose to just pretend and go through the motions of reading His Word. Growing up, I loved to read. As a child, I would read almost anything I could get my hands on as long as it had to do with sports. If I was writing book reports in school, if it was a biography, then I would write on people like Joe Namath or Babe Ruth or Hank Aaron. If I had to write a book report on a work of fiction, it was a book about baseball or football or basketball. I love to read about sports. In fifth grade, my teacher and my mom got together at a parent-teacher conference and decided that I should write my book report on something else, that I had already written enough on sports that I should do something else. So my mom takes me to the library, and I find the most obscure book that I can find. I remember it had a picture of children on the front of it holding balloons. And so I got that book, and I proceeded to write probably the best book report I had ever written. I gave an engaging description of the characters. I shared the exciting plot line. When I got to the end and my conclusion, I shared some lessons of life that we can gain from this book. And my teacher gave me an A, and she wrote some things like, "Aren't you glad that you experienced something different? Great insight. Well written." There was only one catch. I never read the book. I got the book. I skimmed the characters. I tried. I really did try to read the book. It was so boring. So I misled my teacher. I misled my mom. And they all thought that I understood and read this book. There are many people in life who try to live the Christian life, and they try to do what God wants, but they have no idea what to do because they've never read God's Word. There are Christians who struggle all the time wanting to know God's plan for their life, wanting to know the things they're supposed to do, wanting a life that is obedient to God, but they're trying to do it without ever taking God's Word and picking it up and reading it for themselves. God's Word has to be read, and God's Word has to be applied to our life. Why? Well, because the Scriptures contain knowledge, a lot of knowledge about history of Israel and God's connection with His people. The Bible contains God's commands and His directives to us and how we should live our life. And if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, if we're going to be able to follow Him, then reading God's Word has to become a priority in our life. Not just reading it, but studying it and then living by God's Word. And these aren't easy things to do. If we're honest with ourselves, it's not easy to read God's Word all the time. It's not easy to take the things off this Word and apply to our lives, but we have to do that. And so Psalm 119 is written by someone who's trying to do these things and struggling through it. And over the next several weeks, we're going to be honest and we're going to look at this struggle. And we're going to gain insight from this struggle and see if we can apply this to our lives to help us to live according to God's Word. Let's read together Psalm 119, verses 1 through 16. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their hearts. They also do no unrighteousness, they walk in His ways. You have ordained your precepts. That we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed and look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your words. So we see that God's word brings blessings. How blessed are those whose way is blameless. Blessed. So what does it mean to be blessed? We all want to be blessed, and sometimes when we look at this word blessed, we think it means happy. If I am blessed, then I am happy, but it's deeper than that. It's deeper than just superficial happiness. Being blessed means that you live a life that is filled with joy and contentment that only comes from God. It means when you live a blessed life that you have a life of meaning and you have a life of purpose. And we all want God's blessings. We sing about God's blessings. We see things like God bless America. We put bumper stickers on our cars about God's blessing. We all want His blessings. So when we look at the idea of blessed, who are the ones who are blessed? Who are the blessed in Christ? Well, this passage says it is those who weigh is blameless. It is those who walk in the way of the law of the Lord. It is those who seek Him with all of their heart. There are many people who want the blessings of God, but they want to have the blessings of God without following God's commandments. They want God to bless them where they are, but not in what God has called them to do. I had a relative one time tell me that I lived a blessed life. That nothing bad ever happened to me, that my life, that God just must love me in a way that nothing bad ever happens. This person should have been at my house last Saturday evening. I went to bed about 11 o'clock before Easter Sunday. Had just fallen asleep. My daughter's in the shower and my older daughter comes running upstairs. Dad, there's water falling into the garage. And I go downstairs at 11:30 at night and open my garage door and I have a waterfall in my garage. Those of you who like waterfalls, I had one in my garage. So I left town to let my wife deal with that after I left on Monday. But right now I have a completely gutted bathroom as we're trying to put this thing back together. I live a blessed life. Nothing bad ever happens to me. See, in context, my view of life is different. Because of my faith, because of my faith in God's word and my desire to apply it, I measure blessings differently. I see things differently. And so my response and my reactions to things are differently. I have the same problems that anybody else has. I have the same problems in my life that this relative of mine have. I just choose to respond to it differently because I see God's word in a different way. See, my goal in life is to really, truly practice what I believe. To take God's word off of these pages and make it real in my life. And I don't always succeed in doing that. But that is the goal of my life. So if we truly desire to find God, to seek God with all your heart, how do you find Him? You know people that they're struggling to find God? They really want a relationship with God. They want to be closer to God, and they struggle. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, you know, I want that relationship with God. I want to live that kind of life, but I'm struggling. How do I get closer to God? How do I get to know Him in that real and personal way? Well, it has to start in God's Word. It has to start right here. See, you can't know God apart from God's Word. The Bible tells us who He is. The Bible tells us what God is like. The Bible tells us how God interacts with the world. And the Bible explains to us what God wants from us. And we cannot know God if we do not know these things. And you cannot know these things just because you hear somebody talk about these things. You need to dig into God's Word and read His Word to get to know Him. And the Bible tells us that we are blessed if we live this blameless life. Blameless. Blameless doesn't mean sinless. So if you're thinking, I can't live blameless because I have sin in my life, well, let me tell you, you're in good company because there's not a person here who does not live, who lives a sinless life. But we can live blameless. Here's the deal. We stand before God blameless because Jesus Christ paid His debt, our debt on a cross for our sin. We can live blameless. You do not have to live under the guilt of our sin because the price has been paid. Too many believers, too many Christians struggle with the guilt of sin and they never are free to truly worship and truly follow God because this sin consumes their life. And God's word says that He has taken that sin from us. He has put it upon Himself and we can stand blameless before Him. We can have freedom in Christ. We have freedom in Christ. We have that freedom by looking at God's word and applying it, seeking to serve him in obedience. The psalmist says, to those who seek him with all their heart. And the psalmist says that we do that in verse 4, diligently, actively focused, an action part of keeping God's word. The psalmist says that my ways are established to keep your statutes. The psalmist is saying, look, live blameless by seeking God with all that you are, with your whole walk, with your whole life, with all of your actions, with all of your choices, with all of your decisions, with all of your desires. Everything about you is focused on him. Too often we try to compartmentalize our life. We have our work life over here. We have our entertainment life over here. We have our Christian friends here and our non-Christian friends here. And we try to live in all these different compartments. And I can be a good Christian when I'm in church, and I'm going to do the right things when I'm in church. And when I have church people in my house, I'm going to behave a certain way. But when I'm not with church people, I'm going to behave a different way. And when I'm at work, I can do what I want to at work because that's different than what I do. And we try to do this, and we can't live our life that way. If you do that, you will never live a blessed life. You will never be content. You will never be fulfilled in life. Everything needs to be focused on who Jesus is. That needs to consume every aspect of your life. Everything that I am is about who God is. Everything that I do is about who he is. And that way, I can truly say I live unashamedly because I'm focused on him. We care about his commandments. We understand who he is. We understand that our God is greater than us. We realize that maybe that some of the things the world says about God just aren't true. The world says you have a God who doesn't want you to be happy. The world says you have a God who gives you a bunch of rules that you have to follow. The world says that there's so much better things that you can do than following God, and those are lies. So we realize that we can trust God. We realize that we can become thankful instead of resentful. We come to a point in our life when we realize that his commandments are not a burden, but they're a joy. And when we fail, and you will fail, when we don't keep his commandments, and there'll be times we don't keep his commandments, we trust in a God of mercy and a God of grace, and not a God who is up there ready to smite us because we messed up, but a God who truly loves us. We don't keep God's rules because we want to be rule keepers. We keep God's commandments because we love him and because God loves us. This helps us to live this life of purity that the psalmist talks about in verses 9 through 13. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. So what is the goal of life? The purpose of life. Some would say that the purpose of life is to not sin. It's a good purpose. Don't sin. Some would say that the goal of life is to glorify God and live for him in everything that you do. Both of those things are true. It's good not to sin. That's a good goal in life. But if your goal in life is to glorify God and live for him in everything that you do, you'll take care of the other one. See, too many times when we struggle, we put focus in the wrong place. Many, many times I've had conversations with believers who struggle with the sin. They have some sin that they cannot overcome in their life, and their whole focus is on that sin. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do it. And they talk about it and talk about it, and they read books about how and on that sin. And that sin, even though they're trying to do it, it's consumed their life because it's all that they think about. I tell them, if you want to get rid of that sin, pursue God. If you want to get rid of that sin in your life, then find ways to pursue God, because if you are pursuing him, then you're no longer thinking about that sin. Two ways that we can do things. See, I've never met anyone who found joy and who found success in focusing on their sin. It's almost impossible to quit sinning when sin is what consumes you. But I have found people who have found great joy and freedom when they begin to have a passion in seeking God. And we see again here, it begins with his word. The context of here is primarily the book of Moses and the prophets. As the psalmist is writing this, applicable to us as we see and understand the completeness of Scripture. But the psalmist says that God's word is important. In verse 10, it says, "Do not let me wander from your commandments." In verse 12, "Blessed are those, O Lord, teach me your statutes." Verse 13, "With my lips I have told all the ordinances of your mouth." Verse 14, "I have rejoiced in the ways of your testimonies." Verse 15, "I will meditate on your precepts." We need to really understand God's word to live in right relationship with him. I can't say that enough. The psalmist understood the importance of God's word. This should be the desire of our heart. Verse 11 says, "Your word is in my heart." It's inside of me. Your word is not just something that I pick up and read. Your word is not just something I take out and consult when I don't have an answer to a question that I need. Your word is something that is inside of my heart. In the Old Testament, the heart was the place of both thinking and feeling. And so what the psalmist is saying here is that God's word needs to be treasured in a place where it can be thought about and it can be felt. It becomes part of us every single day. I have treasured your word in my heart. That word treasured is used more than 39 times in the Old Testament, and almost always it means to hide or to store. When we think of treasure, we think of something that is valued. And here the psalmist is saying that thing of value needs to be hidden or stored inside of our heart like a treasure. You put it in a place where you will never forget it. The teaching of this verse is that the way that we keep from sinning is to glorify God. And the way we glorify God is we store up God's word in our heart. And when we have the word stored up and hidden in our heart, it's like gold. It's like silver. It's something precious to us. And this brings us joy. Let's look at the last couple of verses here. "I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word." Nothing is better to the psalmist than God's word. "I will meditate on your precepts." I will meditate. I will meditate. I will think on them. I believe that they are life-changing. And this comes when we spend time thinking about, meditating, and memorizing Scripture. Now, you can memorize Scripture. You can do that. We need to memorize Scripture. And I know some of you were thinking, "I'm not really good at memorizing things. I'm not good at that." I've used this illustration before because it's true. I bet that if I offered you, each of you, $1,000 for every verse you memorize in the next week, you would suddenly get very good at memorizing Scripture. It would have value. We're not doing that. But if I did, it would have value. Our children memorize Scripture. Our children go down to children's church and Sunday school and on Wednesday nights, and they memorize Scripture. Sometimes I wonder why adults think that it's beneath them or they're too busy to spend this time. You know who else memorized Scripture? Jesus. We know he did because when he was fasting in the wilderness and there were no libraries or books, and when he was tempted, he memorized Scripture. Sometimes I think that we, as the modern-day American church, we've gotten a little lazy. Why should we memorize Scripture? You got a phone. Right? So Jesus, when Satan came to him there in the wilderness and tempted him, Jesus says, "Hold on a second. Pull out my phone. What do I do when tempted by Satan? What verses should I use?" Right? And that's not what Jesus did. He had the word in his heart. And sometimes we've gotten lazy where we don't need to memorize Scripture because I can just pull out my phone. I'm in a conversation with somebody, and if I don't know the answer, I can just Google it. I can look it up. If I don't know the verse, you know, "Hey, what's that verse we're talking about?" "I don't know." And we've gotten lazy. We need to spend that time memorizing, meditating, spending time in Scripture. This past week, I had the opportunity to be in Louisiana and spent Thursday on the campus of Louisiana State University with their college students. They have a freshman Bible study that meets that afternoon, and I spent time with those freshman students, those guys, and it was a great time. And at the end of their Bible study, they spent time together as a group memorizing scripture. They had two verses each week that they had to memorize. And they were going over and over in that scripture. And so I don't know how many weeks of the semester, but each week they memorized two different passages. And it became a part of this discipleship program. And I was thinking, as I was sitting there, just that value and how that discipline has become so lost in so many circles. And then we wonder why we don't live up to God's word. Because we don't know it. We don't meditate on it. We don't memorize it. God's word, living in God's word, spending time in God's word will help us to live a confident life. So we can be confident that we are blessed if our ways are blameless. We can be confident that we can live that blameless life if we're walking with Jesus. We can be confident that there is no unrighteousness in God's ways. We can be confident that God gave us his word and that we can keep his word. And we need to be confident that he did not mean for his word to be ignored, but to use. We can be confident when we develop a habit of obedience. When reading God's word and the discipline of spending time with God becomes instinct in our life. And it's not something that we have to make ourselves do. But it's something we do because we love the Lord. Obedience brings us freedom. Freedom from sin. And we can have confidence in knowing that we, as God's children, he will never forsake us. And he is always there for us. Confidence does not come when we look out for ourselves in order to get some blessing that we want. Confidence does not come when we think that our ways are better than his ways. Confidence doesn't come when we seek after ourselves and pretend like we're living some godly life. Confidence doesn't come when we think a little sin is okay, and I can have a little sin in my life as long as I'm mostly following God. You will not have confidence with that attitude. Confidence doesn't come when you obey God's word whenever it suits you. Confidence doesn't come when we try to have the sin in our life and hold on to the sin of our life and refuse the joy of forgiveness. As I was reading through and studying this psalm, I see this message and this struggle of the psalmist. And as I was reading this psalm and studying this psalm, I really began to see the message and the struggle of my own life. I remember the day that I fell in love with God's word. I was in college and I was reading the Bible, trying to read the Bible, and there was a dare sitting at the kitchen table, and it came alive to me. And I fell in love with God's word, and I could not get enough of it. I love his word. And I can also tell you, as I stand here today, and as I love God's word, there are times that I struggle. There are times that I struggle to read it. There are times that I struggle to apply it. There are times when I get distracted and I get busy, and sometimes God's word becomes something that is on the side and not where it should be. And I'm telling you that to be honest, because if you're honest, you probably have all have been there. And that's where the psalmist was. We do not want to stay there. We need to persevere in the struggle. And we're going to spend the next several weeks looking at the psalmist as he perseveres in the struggle. I'm going to challenge you to consider the struggle. I don't know where you are. Maybe you are in a place like where I am, where you love God's word and you read God's word daily. And you still have those times of struggle, but it's a passion of yours and you know that you're going to get through it. Maybe you're here today and you know the importance of God's word, but you really don't read it. You really don't spend time in it. Maybe you hear and the most you get out of the Bible is an occasional Bible study here and there, and you pick up the passages as they're spoken. Maybe you're someplace in the middle. My challenge to you this morning is to consider the God's Word, and consider coming with a plan to read it. And maybe you're saying, well, I don't really know where to start. I'm going to give you a great place. We're going to spend several weeks in Psalm 119. It's a good place to start. Read Psalm 119, meditate on it, find some of those passages in there and memorize them and place them as a treasure in your heart. This morning, make a commitment with me that I'm going to spend time in this word and I'm going to spend time seeking how to apply it and making it real in my life.
Take this heart and make it whole again. Though the mountains may be moved into the sea, though the ground beneath might crumble and give way, I can hear my Father singing over me. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.